What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Well, Kat is dead on her feet and refuses to smoke dope so her feet talk to her. Private joke. Because she is working at a con, so I'm stuck with just the McMullen this week.
Deal with it.
I am Josh Hadley, as you can hear. The Charles is here, who ordered a pizza right before the show, so we're in a hurry.
I have it timed out just right, man. This is not my first square dance. I'm good.
Let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We all knew Detroit was corrupt, Charlie. Did you know just how bad things are in Detroit? I mean, we all know it's kind of like they're living in Mad Max times right now. But did you know it's actually a little bit worse than we thought?
Okay, are you saying Piggy has the conch now?
Possibly. Arthur Williams, his car was stolen, okay? So they found his car, the police did, and he had to pay $1,100 to have his stolen car returned to him from the impound lot. That's fucked up right there. If his car was stolen, why does he have to pay to get it back, right?
Right, I would agree with that.
Well, so he gets it towed back to his house when they found that it was missing all four tires. No tires, he figures, what the hell, I'll put the tires back on. Well, this was Bobby's Towing that he had to pay the little over $1,000 to.
Privately owned company.
Yes, privately owned company who is contracted by the police. 15 minutes after it's deposited into his driveway, Bobby's Towing returns and tows his car again because the police said it was an abandoned car because it had no tires, so they were removing it from the street.
Which might be correct, but it was abandoned by people that stole it.
Yeah, so he has to pay again to get his car out from Bobby's Towing. So apparently, because they dropped it off in his driveway with no tires, that meant, oh, it looks like an abandoned car. The police are called to reclaim his car. I think this is systematic of either a system that has completely failed, Charlie, or just corruption at every level. What do you think it is?
I think it's sort of just the desperation that has made that kind of shit okay in Detroit. I mean,
it is Detroit.
The city is not doing well. I think this is just sort of a grand scale version of, well, something that happened to me recently.
I know you've had some car troubles.
Yes, my van broke down on I-25 when I was on my way to Colorado Springs for a show.
And I bet you really regretted when that happened, writing free candy on the side as a joke, huh?
It doesn't say, God damn it, man. It does not say free candy. I mean, the candy would not be free. I have self-esteem, okay?
And you're not made of money.
I'm worth at least retail price, you know, just to get you in the door. Then my charm from that point. Look, I digress. What happened with that is I got the van towed to my friend Eddie's house. Eddie is very good with cars. He said he would only charge me for parts because he legitimately enjoys working on cars. So I was like, right on.
It's always nice to have one of those friends in your wheelhouse.
Usually it is, but here's what happened. In fact, this is still going on. It went from, okay, I need $80 from you. I'm going to Denver today. I know a guy there who's going to give me the part for $80. So I said, right on. He goes, he gets the part. It was the fuel pump, by the way. He said, well, this is the wrong kind of fuel pump. I need the kind with double something. I don't know. I only retain very little information when people talk about cars. But it was the wrong part, so I need another $70. So I was like, okay. Gave him the part. He says, okay, I got the right one in now. As soon as it stops snowing, I'll be able to get outside and get it in there. And then just the other day, this is my mistake. It's the wrong part again. I'm going to need another $100. I'm like, okay, fuck you, Eddie. That's not happening. I think that's what's happening to Detroit right now. Like, they're just trying to scheme their way into some more money. Like, it's only a matter of time before Detroit offers to suck Lansing's dick.
But, I mean, you don't see something wrong with just how blatant they are, that they're not even hiding it anymore, that they're
very wrong.
Yeah, they even wrecked his fence towing the car the second time, and he's got video of that, and the police are just, well, they are, quote, trying to verify Williams' version of the story.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. It's all just trying to get money, and it's very wrong. I'm not condoning this kind of behavior. I'm just saying it's more desperate than it is malicious, but it's either way, it's still wrong.
It's absolutely wrong. This is just ridiculous. I mean, Okay, a car is just imagined to be abandoned after 15 minutes? It wasn't there 15 minutes ago. Before something's declared abandoned, could you give it, I don't know, a couple of days, maybe? Well, let's move from that to something still kind of dumb. More ridiculous dumb. Let's stay in Michigan. Let's go to Dearborn, which has one of the largest Muslim populations in America.
And you're right? In line after Lansing. Detroit's going to offer to suck your dick too, Dearborn.
Oh, God, they're going to pull a train?
Yes, Dearborn gets the first reach around.
Well, but they are Muslim, so they're not really into that. We're in April, so Easter's coming up, right? Muslims are complaining that Christians are trying to, quote, indoctrinate their kids by seeing Easter flyers and Easter regalia everywhere.
This is sort of a taste of your own medicine kind of thing.
Complaining that the local Presbyterian, I always have problems saying that, Presbyterian church is trying to indoctrinate them by making their kids interested in their extravaganza. Parent Majid Magani, I really do apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, told the Free Press newspaper, "It really bothered my kids. My son was like, Dad, I really don't feel comfortable getting these flyers telling me to go to a Christian church. I thought churches are not supposed to mix with schools." In that, he's absolutely right. There is a separation of church and state, but at the same time, the guy's using his religion to say why the other religion should not be in the school. Little conflict of interest there?
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of funny that it's the Christians that are now the ones that are being accused of this when usually they're the accusers.
Yeah, it's delightfully ironic, I think. It's really weird, though. I mean, Muslims are always accused of being subliminal and sneaky, trying to indoctrinate Christians. But I guess, like, an extravaganza is no different than a jihad bari, any way to get the kids. So I find it very delightful whenever two religions fight with each other over an issue that...
Is this stupid?
Exactly. I mean, perhaps the biggest irony of all is that neither party will see the irony in any of this.
Oh, both parties see themselves as the victim.
Right. Always will. That's our culture. Whether you're a Christian or Muslim, if you're an American, victim is your default setting.
You're born into victimhood as right. An American. I think that should be the new slogan for America. Born into victimhood.
It's tough to fit that on a t-shirt, though.
I can try. Which you can also, you can maybe get that at the 1201 Beyond store at 1201beyond.com. We have t-shirts.
Keep an eye out for it.
Now, let's talk about something a little bit different. This is a little more serious, although I'm sure you're going to make jokes about it because that's the reason I have you here. Chase Bank, JP Morgan Chase, one of the largest banks in America, right? They will no longer accept cash.
Holy shit. It's finally happening.
They will no longer take cash. Guess why? Just... I want you to guess before I tell you. Why do you think they don't want to deal with cash anymore?
I'm crossing my fingers. I hope it's for the environment.
Quoting spokesman Jeff Little, the policy change combats misuse of accounts, including money laundering. So they don't want to be involved in money laundering. So we don't want cash at all. We don't want any cash deposits because you might be laundering money. And let me point out, JP Morgan Chase is one of the most corrupt banks in America. Just kind of ironic, isn't it?
They were a gigantic part of that bailout.
Yes, and they don't want to deal with cash anymore. It's not the smiling face they don't trust, it's the fistful of cash they don't trust. Unquote.
Right.
Just wow. Do you think this signals the end of our financial system as it is when they're saying, I can't trust cash, I only trust zeros and ones on a computer screen now.
Yeah, I think this is very much the beginning of the end. I mean, that's how it's going to work. I mean, that's how it's going to be now. We went from having cash, which is itself a commodity with no practical use, having only the value that we universally agree upon, to having no commodity at all. There's nothing. There's going to be nothing tangible. This is the beginning, and us ending up as like fat man children floating around on scooters like in WALL-E is the end. That's what it's leading to.
Cash is kind of a fungible thing. They say cash. Does that mean checks? Like a written check like we used to do in the 90s? Will they stop taking those now? Because those are, in quotes, as good as cash, right?
back in the 90s. Then what? We'd all go play joke. We'd go play jacks down at the soda fountain.
What? I don't even write checks all that often anymore.
I don't write checks at all anymore. It just, I imagine that would be included. Anything that is not paperless is cash now.
Because to me, this does signal, maybe this is the conspiracy theorist in me. This signals their plans to do something. Doesn't this signal that we're trying to get out of the cash game because something's coming down the pipe and we want to make sure that we're in front of it?
Of course. I mean, with no cash, there's like no paper trail. There's no tangible commodity. There, you only have as much money as Chase Manhattan Bank and J.P. Morgan say you do. I mean, you're completely at their mercy. Josh, it's probably been a while since you've had to get a new job, but if you have to get a new job now, there's a lot of places, like every place I've worked for the past 2 years, I would say, makes direct deposit mandatory. There are no more... Yes, seriously, there are no more checks. You have to get direct deposit. Like
The last time I ran into that, it was an option, and they encouraged you, but it wasn't mandatory.
It is now mandatory, and I've always hated that because that's just one more thing that I can't control now, that I have to depend on an HR department or an accounts receivable department to take care of, and I don't like that. It takes away control, and I think that's what it is at the heart of this thing. I think one of the biggest banks in the country, why not start there? Let's just control everything. You only have as much money as we say you do, and everybody will believe our word over yours.
Also, the fact, look at what I said earlier. This is just numbers on a screen. You no longer have, I mean, even with cash, yes, it's backed by, used to be on the gold standard, now it's not, now it's backed by, the Federal Reserve and blah, blah, blah.
The cash for gold standard.
But there's nothing here now. It's literally zeros and ones in a computer, and that's it. Do you really want to trust your future, your financial future, to a computer? Because that's what you're doing now. If the computer says you have no money, you have no money. You can be sitting there with a stack of $100 bills, but the computer could say you have no money. Well, then your electricity gets shut off.
And Josh, that's
repossessed.
That is exactly what people want. That people... Okay, the satellite TV company that I work for, auto bill pay is a huge thing. I'm sure they've tried to shove it down your throat a number of times.
They have, and I still have not acquiesced to that, but I'm sure at some point I'll lose the option to say no.
Here's why they do that. Because when people get on enrolled in auto bill pay, I don't know how and I don't know why, but it gets into people's heads, okay, I don't have to look at my statement anymore. It'll just get paid through the credit card that I gave you, so that'll just happen, and I don't even ever have to think about it again. But if people don't look at their statements, they don't know when a payment was rejected, they don't know, what's going on with their account. Like, if they have, a renewable sports package that gets automatically renewed, yes, they tell you on your statement the month before it renews, so that if you don't want to pay for it, you have a month to cancel it.
But if you're not looking at your statement...
Exactly, and nobody fucking does. Jesus Christ, I've talked to people who have not even opened a statement that was sent to them in like 9 months, sometimes more, sometimes over a year. It is ridiculous, and I think that is what people want. It's American laziness at its heart. People want someone else to take care of shit for them, and that's what this will look like to a whole lot of people.
Now, it even comes down to like my ISP. I'm happy with my ISP. I got an independent ISP, but they are completely paperless. I've actually asked them, because remember when my identity got stolen a couple of months ago, I had to change all my credit card information and whatnot, and I asked them if I could get a paper bill to look at, and they said, we don't do those.
Right.
We'll email you a bill, but we don't send them to your house anymore.
Right.
And I've seen more and more businesses that they don't send you paper bills anymore. And maybe this is the old fogey in me. I like having a physical record that I don't have to print out myself.
Yes, and it has nothing to do with clinging to a bygone era or any horseshit like that. There are physical practicalities to having a paper bill and having paper records. It's just, I don't know, it's difficult to describe. It's just more within your control. If you have physical documentation, it's more within your control than if you're just at the mercy of a few lines of code.
Exactly. Not only is that easily hackable, it's much more easier to steal, and it's much more easier to corrupt. like you were hinting at earlier, it's much more easier to say maybe you make a $1,000 deposit into a Chase bank, you know, electronically, obviously, since they won't take cash. And they might be able to say, well, I'm sorry, one of those zeros fell off. You only made a $100 deposit.
Yeah, I mean, during the bank bailouts, they sort of got a free pass for just fucking everybody that they could in the ass. What kind of fucking qualms do you think they'll have about screwing over just you?
Exactly. I think this is a dangerous precedent to set. And then for the reason of money laundering, really, that's the reason that you're going to try and claim you're stopping this? That's your excuse? Come on. Don't play me like that. At least buy me dinner before trying to fuck me.
In post-Bitcoin America, there is no more money laundering.
Hell, Bitcoin was a perfect example. Look at how millions of dollars in Bitcoins went missing. They were numbers on a screen, and now they're gone. There's nothing we can do about it. That's where we're heading with this.
And there are a whole lot of lazy fucks out there that want it to happen.
And it's also easier to track you. If the government's looking for you, and I'm not talking on like a CIA try to kill you kind of, you know, eagle eye movie kind of thing. Let's say the government's trying to look for you for any reason. They can track where your credit. Look, watch any crime show, any modern crime show, a Law and Order or anything. What's the first thing they do when they're looking for the suspect? Might not even be who did it, just a suspect. Track his credit card movements, right?
Right.
Track his banking movements. Oh, well, he got gas at this place at 11:42 p.m. Oh, and then he got a sandwich over here.
So he's headed in that direction.
Yeah. Maybe it's paranoia on my part. Fine. Fair enough. Maybe it is paranoia. I don't like the ability to be tracked everywhere I go. Maybe I'm funny like that and, you know, my old crankness having grown up in an era where you couldn't track everything. Maybe I'm all waxing nostalgic, but I don't think you should be able to track everything I do. It almost segs into a loss of privacy, doesn't it?
I think it does to an extent. I mean, and I think you're right. This does veer very close to paranoia territory. But in this instance, I think it's an exception. I really think this is wrong, and I don't think there are any good intentions behind it.
What if Tyler Durden was right?
It made sense at the time, and it makes sense now.
So I'm not saying we're going to blow up buildings while the Pixies play, but we're heading down a dangerous path here. This we're going cashless. Hell, there's a city. It was in California, I believe, where you can't even pay your bills with cash. You can't pay your electric bill. You can't. The entire city went cashless. Restaurants won't take cash. Gas stations won't take cash. Cashless is the direction we're heading. And I know I sound paranoid, but that's not a good direction to be going in. Don't you people see the storm clouds over the horizon?
Even now, utility companies charge, in most cases, a convenience fee of $4.99 to make a payment over the phone. That is without cash. That convenience fee of $4.99 is going to apply to everything now.
Your company, the company you work for, because I have that service. Fuck right. It, I'm just going to say it. It's DirecTV.
Yeah, it is.
I have DirecTV. If I want to pay my bill online, it's free. If I want to pay with my credit card over the phone, it's free. If I want to pay by check and have the money just taken out of my banking account, $5 fee. Why? Why is that, Charlie? You work there. Can you enlighten me? Why do I have to pay a fee to essentially write out a check?
I don't think I know. I think if I had to wager a guess, it'd probably be incentive for auto bill pay.
But you're not gonna bully me into that. You're not.
Right. I mean, we can't take away a fee you're not being charged, but if we start charging you a fee to do it your way, you might want to do it our way without a fee. I think that's what it is at the heart of it.
They're manipulating you, and you're allowing it.
I've been trying to get fired for the past couple weeks, by the way.
Before you do, I need a whole bunch of credits added to my account, please.
I'm working on it. I have a plan.
Thank you. On that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts. Now imagine your pain is a white ball of healing light. That's right. Your pain, the pain itself, is a white ball of healing light. I don't think so. This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. useless. I say, let me never be complete. I say, may I never be content. I say, deliver me from Swedish furniture. I say, deliver me from clever art. I say, deliver me from clear skin and perfect teeth. I say, you have to give up. I say, evolve, and let the chips fall where they may.
Hey guys, Hart D. Fisher here with Heart Attack. Of course, Josh is with me. I'm a little groggy today. We're recording this a little earlier than we normally do. We're recording it on Monday, and let's just say I had a very, very good weekend.
I called and woke him up, and he's, yeah, we can do that.
Totally, man.
Like a half hour ago.
I already powered through one glass of green tea, which folks at home should know, if you get real Japanese green tea, not this Lipton teabag fucking crap, if you get real Japanese green tea, it has more caffeine than coffee, and it has materials in it and different properties to it that allow your body to process the caffeine better and longer. So if you say, oh, I need my Java to get going, switch to green tea, motherfucker. And then, now, since you woke me up even earlier, I need the green tea and a cup of coffee. So now I'm drinking a cup of coffee.
I hope you're drinking them separately.
Yeah, I powered through the green tea first, wolfed down a banana, and now I am drinking a cup of coffee as we talk. And I finally got to see John Borowski's Serial Killer Culture doc. I got it, and my wife and I watched it on Friday night, so that was pretty cool.
I heard there's some asshole named Hart Fisher in it. That's why I'm not going to watch it.
That's right, guys. I mentioned this on the hour-long Heart Attack last week, but Serial Killer Culture is a documentary by John Borowski that I'm one of the people interviewed in. It had been getting really good notices at film festivals around the country over the last 3 or 4 months, and now it is available on DVD and streaming. You get it at Amazon, and you can get it on, you know, serialkillerculture.com. And I got to watch it. You know, I've been a fan of John's work for a while. He did a really amazing H.H. Holmes documentary that got my attention. And I really liked his Albert Fish documentary. And so to be involved in this project that actually goes a little deeper into the culture behind the serial killer stuff was pretty cool. And it was kind of funny to see some people in there that I knew. And for me, this Dahmer stuff is, dude, that's 20 years ago for me. So I'm not a serial killer guy. I mean, I did my research. I was into it years and years ago, and now they kind of bore me. You know, I'm kind of bored by most serial predation. I'm more interested in corporate predation and how we, the people, are being preyed upon by our politicians and other folks that are using the system to pervert things so they could make more money and they don't care about killing people. You know, it's part of why I do Heart Attack. But going back and watching Serial Killer Culture, I got to find out why people were actually raving about my interview in it. And I didn't know why. You know what I mean? I had no idea what they liked about it. But once I saw the film, now I get what they liked about it. I'm probably the funniest fucker in there. I mean, that and I actually am really happy. A lot of the folks in there involved are they're used to being attacked for what they like. They're used to being attacked for selling serial killer artwork and such. I don't know. Some of the people in it are kind of weird, man. But the best interview, besides myself, since I'm so self-centered, definitely was Joe Coleman. Joe Coleman's interview was fantastic. I like Joe Coleman's artwork quite a bit. And it was really a powerful interview that he gave in that documentary. I'd say not to be all pointy-headed and all, but I really liked my part, and I really liked Joe Coltman's part a lot in the film, quite a bit. And if you wanted to know what my house looks like or my garage, you can find out now.
Well, you brought up something that's interesting. You're interested in the predatory businesses. So with Citizens United saying that businesses are people, then when a business goes and cuts 3/4 of its workforce or does a hostile takeover another business, why are they not a serial killer?
Let me put it to you very, very bluntly. Businesses and corporations are not people. And here's one very easy reason why. You can't put them in jail. When they kill people, like we know Johnson & Johnson has killed children, fetuses in the womb, and old men because they had a project where they bribed doctors to subscribe their drugs that old folks didn't need, that fetuses didn't need, and a lot of these had side effects. And we know they paid $2.2 billion. So that tells you something right there. A corporation, you can't put it in a prison for its bad behavior. You can only
put the CEO in prison.
But they're not. They're not doing that. So there's no way you could reference to them as people, because when they murder, you can't put them on death row. When they kill a bunch of people, you don't imprison the corporation. You can imprison its officers, and they should imprison the officers. But one of the reasons they don't do that is the politicians have seen the light, and they go, a human being has a finite lifespan. But Disney outlasted Disney. ABC is going to outlast the people that founded ABC. So now the politicians have figured out, well, forget about getting all that money from the people. I want to get all these ill-gotten gains from these dirty corporations. And that's what's going on. We, the people, lost interest in our elected governance. We lost interest in it. We got gamed and we got, you know, sidetracked with easy dominoes and cable and video games and online porn. We got distracted. And while we've been distracted, they have been hammering their cocks up our asses every step of the way. They're killing kids. They're killing grownups. They're killing everybody. The more you read, the more it just sickens you. So for me, that's why I do Heart Attack. I do it so that I don't have it on American Horrors, my horror channel. I mentioned earlier on the last week's hour long, I'm got a new series that we signed to American Horrors. Things are going really good with American Horrors. I'm really happy with what's happening in my life and my job and, you know, who I work with. I like doing this show with you, Josh. So, sometimes I really find that this shit is so goddamn depressing. I'm surprised we have the audience that we have. I really am, because what we talk about, we don't make it jokey and fun. We're not jokey and fun here like on Comedy Central or you're watching Colbert Report. I have a hard time laughing about a lot of this stuff when people are dying and getting fucked over. It really bothers me because I've been on the bottom of the food chain. Like seeing this film, this documentary, Serial Killer Culture, it's nice to finally have an interview where I'm not being fucked when it goes on the air, because my experience with doing the work I did on Jeffrey Dahmer and serial killers is they always would bait me in these ambush interviews, and then the interview would come out and they would make me look like an asshole, and they would edit so the answer for one question now is the answer to a different question on the air. And so they were very
– do you think that 90s documentary, what is it, National Geographic? Documentary on the 90s that's coming out relatively soon, do you think they're going to be fair with you?
I think I'm crossing my fingers that they will be, because audiences have changed. When I was doing Serial Killer Culture, when I was doing the Dahmer books in the early 90s, true crime was not the embedded entertainment juggernaut that it is. And the funny thing about it is most of the consumers of true crime material are women. They're girls. They're housewives. They're moms. So most of the people watching, you know, Snap or, you know, Stalked, Down and Killed, they're women. It's not guys. It's women that are watching all this stuff. And that's something that I'd like to get a shrink to talk about and figure out, why are women so into this true crime? They are way into true crime more than the men. You know what I mean? And I also, I might as well do a quick shout out. I wanted to thank on the air Tyler. Tyler's a guy who did some writing for Film On, does some stuff with Film On. And he brought me out to a store opening on Friday. We covered a store opening. I'm sorry, Saturday night. We covered this great store opening here in Highland Park. It's a new, cool toy store called Rejects. And I got to meet a fan who had submitted material to me back in like 92, 93, back when I still lived in Champaign, Illinois. And I liked this guy's stuff. He had a book called One Nation Underground. And I couldn't really figure out what to do with the book. It wasn't something I could publish, but boy, I liked the title. I liked his art. Here it is, 22 years later, I got to re-meet this guy, re-hook up with this guy, interview him, and his art is fantastic. And it was really cool to get to meet a fan like that. And he influenced me. Our fan club for Boneyard Press was Outlaw Nation. And that was because, and we did a comic book called Outlaw Nation. And that was because I liked his One Nation Underground. But my rule of thumb at the time was, hey, man, never, never, never rip off a fan. So if you like a title or you like an idea, you got to table it. You got to table it. And you got to go, okay, well, One Nation Underground is really cool. What can I do? What can I do that's like that? And then I came up with Outlaw Nation. And so it was really cool to meet him and talk to him. Tell him that, because he was a Boneyard fan big time. And so it was really great to kind of pass that back to him and the compliment and go, you motherfucker, you influenced me, man. This is a two-way street. You influenced me too. And that was really cool. That's really one of the joys of doing what we do, is when you kind of do get to meet somebody whose life you've changed for the better, whose life you helped them feel a little better about whatever bad time they're going through. And for me, that is the all-time best part of doing this kind of thing, of doing a show like this or creating art or creating comic books. That was the best gift to me, was when the fans would give it back to me and I would be like, oh, cool, man, I made a difference in your life. That's fucking great. And that's just the best. And then if you could get a paycheck on top of that, fuck, man, you're in paradise. And on that note, guys, if you need to get a hold of me, go ahead and get a hold of me. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. Find us, Heart Attack Radio, you know, facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. Find us on Twitter, Heart_Fisher. It's really easy. Go ahead and contact me if you've got any funny stories about my work. If you have seen the film and you've got a question, if you have a news story, and that's the best thing, is all the fans have been really great about giving us news and information. So if you need to contact us, we want to hear from you guys. Go ahead and hit us up. Other than that, have a great fucking night.
To the people, I'm still one equal, one nation under God. The middle class, a dream of the past, my house to pack a gun. Living beyond all means, red just springs on credit overdrawn. The high price of freedom for the rich and illegal, where's our future coming from? Oh God, what the hell you showing me? I'm just a victim branded by society. You're never gonna get what you want from me. Dying in a land of opportunity, we never have a say in anything. Don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. Living fear of things that we saw. Now freedom, justice, and the law. An honest man has no chance in the eyes of the law. The woman is evil, abortion is legal, age, sex, and Santa Claus. We're so pathetic, trying to stretch for together. Where's our future coming from? We're all just slaves the American way. Where's our future coming from? Oh God, what the hell you showing me? I'm just an outlaw brain of a society. You're never gonna get what you want from me. Dying in our land of opportunity, we never have a say in anything. Don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. Gonna live in life that we saw. No freedom, justice, and the law.
Okay, Charlie, we're going to take this segment to talk about how basically if you're rich, you can do anything you want and you can buy democracy, which means democracy, which is supposed to be for the people, by the people, is a foregone. It's a dead concept, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Citizens United gave inalienable human rights to a corporation. I mean, you're on the other side of the shark now. There's no place else to go.
Not even Citizens United. Citizens United started this. Don't get me wrong. Citizens United is a big part of this, but just this week, we have to talk about it. The United States Supreme Court came down, rich people get to buy elections legally.
Pretty much.
What happened was, even with Citizens United, rich people were only allowed to give $5,200, why that random number, I don't know, to any given political candidate for any reason, legally. You know, through their PACs and all that stuff, they gave a lot more, but legally...
I'm sure there's some Masonic numerology thing behind $5,200.
It just seems like a random number to me, but I don't know. Maybe I just haven't read enough into that one, but that's a strange cap to put on it, you know? So that means that in any given two-year cycle, an individual rich person could give a total of $123,200 per election cycle, okay?
Right.
Well, the Supreme Court just decided in a 5-4 decision that no, that was actually stifling free speech, that rich people, that they're able to express themselves through political donations, so therefore restricting political donations means that we were restricting their freedom of speech. So rich people now have a First Amendment right to buy elections.
In other words, not allowing me to bribe him makes the thing I want harder for me to get, and I don't like that, so here's this law.
Yep, that's basically what it comes down to. Now, they also are trying to say that we don't see any corruption in this, that just because this rich person, say the Koch brothers, one of the Koch brothers, gives money to this candidate, that doesn't necessarily mean that that candidate will then be trying to implement laws that help the rich person, in this case, the Koch brothers. They're saying one hand does not necessarily wash the other.
Well, I just wanted to coin this term really quick. Making that candidate a Koch whore.
Ha, there you go.
That's the thing now.
I mean, it even comes, we've seen it already. We've seen it already. Chris Christie flew to Sheldon Adelson, one of the richest, craziest GOP fucks out there, flew to him and sucked his dick to try and get campaign money, because Chris Christie still thinks he has a shot at being president for whatever reason, fine, whatever. And he did everything Sheldon Adelson told him to do, including apologizing for using the term occupied territories when it came to Israel. You know, those territories that are occupied, because Sheldon didn't like it. You really think that this Supreme Court ruling is not going to specifically say, hey, I have money, you will do what I want? Basically what this comes down to, Charlie, isn't it? Unless you have money, you no longer have a voice in Congress?
Well, man, that's always been what it's about. I mean, even
it's
like...
It's more transparent like that.
Yeah, it is. It's becoming much more transparent. And, I mean, even if you want to run for president, you can't do it without campaign donations. You need campaign donations in order to run for president or to run for Congress or to run for any public office that your idealism is at least at first telling you that you need to do. But you can't do it without donations. And the people that have donations to give are people that have agendas that they want pushed forward. By helping you become a congressman, you're going to be my congressman. And here's what I want you to do, and you have to because I gave you a whole bunch of money without which you would not be a congressman. It's a corrupt system, and it's the only system we've had. There's no real change. It's just matters of degree.
Exactly. But I think it comes down to almost cartoonish supervillainy. I mean, at least when we were kids, Charlie, they attempted to hide their corruption.
Yeah.
Now they're just straight out and out in the open going, yeah, I'm corrupt. Nothing you can do about it because I got money.
Way back in the 1990s, as we were reminiscing earlier, as we sipped our mint juleps on the porch.
Hey, I'm a Yankee, remember?
Fair enough. I mean, it's bootleg mint julep. It wasn't that long ago where our politicians would lie to the point where they argue about the definition of the word is. I mean, I think I look back on that now as a shining pinnacle of politicians at least trying to hide their bullshit a little bit.
Don't you see that this really, I mean, it will aid Democrats, obviously, but really, really aids Republicans because Republican rich people are the crazy ones, and they're the ones that are trying to pull all that Mr. Burns shit.
Yeah, they're the richest and the craziest, and they want the most power. Democrats, to their credit, at least only appear to be, you know, interested in themselves. There's a lot of self-interest. Whenever it's a Democratic scandal, now I'm generalizing here, but it seems that most Democratic scandals are sex scandals. Hookers, but not like Larry Craig in a men's room. Like, you know, that's the kind of scandal that Democrats
Anthony
usually
Wiener's
have.
Wiener.
There you go. That's like a quintessential Democratic sex scandal. You have a guy in power doing something stupid instead of doing something evil, which is more a Republican thing.
But this also brings up the fact that what is going to happen in 2 years? That with this ruling, I thought the last election cycle was the dirtiest, scummiest, most down in the mud political race I'd ever seen.
It was pretty bad.
I think that was just a preamble to what we've got coming. Now that people like the Kochs and Shell and Adelson and all that can give whatever they want, this is going to get nasty. Because here's the other thing that a lot of people don't realize about political ads. You can't censor a political ad. So they can lie any way they want. They can have photoshopped images of Barack Obama. Obviously, he's not running, but, you know, from the last one. They could have photoshopped images of Barack Obama praying to Mecca while smoking dope while sucking gay dick. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they got that gay to straight thing, so.
Well, a few people know that. You can tell how gay a guy is by how his dick tastes. That's technically true.
But you can lie about anything. Do you ever wonder why when you see some of those attack ads, especially on the local level, where they're all like, my opponent is this and did this and voted for this, and then you look it up and you go, actually, the exact opposite happened, because you can't censor a political ad. Why do you think when Larry Flint ran for president in 1984, he wore a T-shirt that said, eat pussy on it, and swore a whole shit ton of times, and TV stations had to air it?
I am Larry Flint. I hereby announce my candidacy for the presidency of these United States of America. One of your colleagues said on the floor that no decent member of Congress would accept Hustler. That's exactly why I sent it to you in the first place. You're all a bunch of low-life, indecent, puke-infested maggots that should be hounded from office for being political, inept quacks, spelled Q-U-A-C-K-S. Fuck you, motherfuckers.
You can't censor a political ad, which means you can lie any way you want. And now that you can donate as much as you want, you really think the Adelsons and the Kochs are not just going to go fucking hog wild this next election cycle?
Yeah, I think it's already been decided that it is going to get worse because we as a people have enabled it to get worse.
Well, let's move from that to a different type of corruption. Why do you think, though, then that these politicians don't even pretend that we matter as the people? Do you realize that all of these politicians, both Democrat and Republican, that keep voting against stronger gun laws, that keep voting against background checks for guns, 80% of the American people believe in stronger gun laws. So why do these things keep failing by massive margins? Why? Because the NRA donates a lot of money to these people. These people are terrified of the NRA, who, as big as they are, speak for a minority of Americans. Why do the minority get to decide what the majority do?
Because they have the majority of the bribe money. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative about all of this. I don't know. I would like to think there are some truly idealistic people out there running for public office because they think they can make a difference. But I just think that's becoming less and less the case. I don't know, man. This is difficult to talk about because I don't have any sort of positive thing to say. Like, there's no silver lining for this that I can see.
But shouldn't we, the people, actually use our votes and stop being taken in by people like the Kochs and their misleading ads? Why do you think when we see one of these ads on TV, we just go, oh, that fucker, he voted like that? Well, fuck him at the polls. Fuck him. Shouldn't we go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. I'm going to look
should.
Into this and find out that, oh, actually, that's all lies.
Yes, I know. Like, in an ideal world, yes, we should take a second glance at that, and we should think more about shit like that before reacting. If it's the lobbyist and the Koch brothers that want this evil thing to happen, it is the politician that they control's job to make it look like something the American people would want. So that way the American people, the ones that fall for it, vote for that, and it happens just the same.
You know, rich people have a different set of justice as well. You
they
heard
have
about
a different set of values, too.
You heard about the case of Robert H. Richards IV, right?
I don't think I did.
he sexually abused his 3-year-old daughter. He's charged with, quote, penetrating her with his fingers while masturbating. Subsequently, anally assaulted his son. He is the great-grandson of DuPont family patriarch Irene DuPont of DuPont Chemical. Do you know why he's not going to spend a day in jail?
Love to hear it.
The judge said he would not benefit from going to jail. He would benefit from treatment.
And oh, then, my God.
And then added that he would not do well in prison.
That's kind of the fucking point of prison, is it not?
Yeah, he wouldn't do well. But this is also an insane rich man, a white man, too. An insane rich white man. Quoting here, prison is to punish, to segregate the offender from society, and the notion that prison serves people well hasn't proven to be true in most circumstances. He wouldn't do well in prison, so let's not send this rich white guy to prison, Charlie. So he just gets he gets treatment.
A judge now, said that. A judge said that. Has been sworn to uphold the law for all people said, well, if we send this guy to prison, we're just going to make things worse for this guy.
For him.
Kids. So,
for him.
Yeah.
He will be worse off if he goes to prison. And the guy's mugshot on Huffington Post. He's got this smug sort of look on his face. It just makes me, you son of a bitch. But that's what I mean. The rich have a different system of justice. If you're rich, you don't go to prison. You get treatment. If you're rich, you get a voice in politics. The poor don't. The poor don't get a voice in politics. This system is so rigged that I come across like a conspiracy theorist when I talk about it because people don't want to believe it. They still want to believe in these idiotic ideals that truth, justice, and the American way, that America is based on justice and truth. It's not. It never has been. But I'm hoping that transparency, that lack of transparency, would have hardened you to the realities of life. But still, it's, well, he don't want fags to get married, so I'm going to support him. I don't care how corrupt he is. That one wants boys kissing under courthouse steps? Well, fuck them. That's people still vote against their own best interests because they play you. Why do you think this gay marriage thing is such a major issue? Because they know it's going to eat at your heart, and as it's eating at your heart, your brain's going to cease to work. That's the problem, Charlie.
There wasn't a whole lot of American innocence to begin with, though. I mean, when you think about it, America was built on the just genocidal extinction of one race and the enslavement of a second.
Well, yeah, America was perfect when it was made if you were white, Christian, male, rich.
Own land.
Yeah, it was a great system.
Yes, all the slaves you can rape.
Well, then, you know, you got the Indians, and you can get them damn Chinamen for next to nothing to do your work for you, right?
It's the same system that we have now. It's just, it's fueled more by greed than it is by hate. It's still fucked up, though.
Do you think with this being so transparent now, whether they wanted it this transparent or not is debatable, do you think that, and I'm not calling for violence, do you think that a revolution is inevitable at this point?
I wouldn't say it's inevitable. The general just apathy and malaise of the average American must not be underestimated. I think before you can have a revolution, you have to have more, like, you need enough people to give a fuck, is what I'm trying to say. And I don't think you're going to get that in today's climate.
Do you think that there's a correlation between the right wing being the ones who are rigging the system, also being the ones that want everyone on their side to have as many guns as possible? Do you think those two things correlate, or am I seeing something that's not there?
No, I think it makes perfect sense for the people who support guns the most are the people that are going to need them the most, because there's going to be a lot of people that want to kill them.
I just think that this ruling by the Supreme Court basically said, yeah, people, your vote doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And it also said the five judges who voted for this, since it was a 5-4 decision, they said, can I just get like a bag with a money symbol on it? Or, you know, I'm a cartoon or supervillain anyway. Why don't you just pay me like that? Oh, but not in cash, because then we can't deposit it in a Chase bank.
Right. And if you can get me a handlebar mustache to twirl, that'd be great.
So on that note, we go from that to, Charlie, where are you?
Where am I? Well, I'm on the Facebook. I'm on the Twitter. at Charlie McMullen. And I'm often on geekjuicemedia.com. More so now than I have been lately.
Yeah, you've been slacking.
I know. I was in a play. It opened this weekend.
How dare you have a personal life?
Well,
son of a bitch.
It's more of a passive aggressive thing. I'll explain that to you later. But yes, you can find me at geekjuicemedia.com a lot more going forward.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com, which also has a store where you can order t-shirts and things of that nature. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com, and I'm on the same geekingjuicingmediaing.com. That didn't come out right, but whatever. Have a good night.
Didn't come out wrong, though, did it?
To the death to save your useless flag. You want a banana. of us do. Against all that money and power trying to crush us into roaches, we won't destroy society in a day until we change ourselves first from the inside out. We can start by not lying so much and treating other people like dirt. It's so easy not to base our lives on how much we can stand. You know, it feels good to lift that monkey up off the back. Better live in a place where they say the things they do without being taken out and shot. Swear to God, it gets the goons trying to take my rights away. We've got to rise above the need for cops and laws. Let kids learn communication instead of school push competition about moral and theater instead of sports. Even though it's each other's legalism, crime drops from the market present, budgets in the red, it's taxi to hitchhike. No one will do it for us. We'll just have to fix ourselves. Honesty ain't all that hard. Just put Rambo back inside your pants. Causing trouble for the system's much more fun. Thank for the toilet paper, it's actually meaningless to me. Look around, we're all people who need countries anyway. I think I love it too, I think I love it more than you. I care enough to fight the stars and stripes of corruption. Let's bring it on down, let's bring it on down, let's bring it on down. If we don't try, if we just fly, if we can't find a way to do better than this, we will.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.